Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-O-R-D. The number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So before we go any further in this message, I want to say to all of you that's listening to this broadcast, I want you to pray a personal prayer for yourself concerning what we've got about to go into tonight. I'm going to pray a personal prayer for me. We're going to pray to the Lord. But my prayer will be this, that God will word my mouth to give the right message unto you, the listener, tonight. And I ask that you pray that the Spirit of the Lord would touch you and reveal to you in this message tonight what God wants you to know. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today, Lord God, that you will word my mouth to those who are listening, that I may give the right message. Father, I pray that I'll be led by your Spirit, that you will help me to submit to the leading of your Spirit. And Lord God, just anoint the words of my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name. And therefore, Lord, as together we petition you that your Spirit will be with us during this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate. Brother Keevan was scheduled to come on, but he had something to come up, so therefore, I am filling in today. Lord say the same. I'm definitely scheduled tomorrow to be on the broadcast, but filling in today, and I was just getting together with the Lord and just was wondering, Lord, what would you have for me to come with today? Because, see, sometimes, you know, many of us, some of us try to plan things, and there's nothing wrong with planning per se, but we can't leave out the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we do, quote, too much planning and don't give any room for the Spirit to lead us. And so this came to me, which is the topic of the message tonight. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Now, remember, I came with this in part as I was going into what is called the third message of the word of the Lord with you, which I, Lord say the same, will continue with that tomorrow night. But however, this come to me tonight, and it come to me in the form of a question from the word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read verse 3 to verse 10. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to verse 10. Amen. The word of God said, and as he, which is Christ, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. The message tonight is in the form of a question. And the question is, are you ready for the den? Are you ready for the den? Remember in verse 9, he said, den. After verse 8, when he said, all these are the beginnings of sorrows, he lists the wars, the pestilence or the diseases, earthquakes, famines, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, false Christ arising and all that. And then he said, these are the beginnings of sorrow. And then he turns around and said, at then shall they deliver you up. And then is a word of order. Okay. And anything before the then must happen first, and anything after the then comes after. Okay. And we're coming up on the hour of the then. Okay. And the question is, are you ready for the then? Okay. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. The then deals with one aspect, what will be done to you as being persecuted. And in verse 10, the then is done with what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. And the question is, for the then. When he said, then should they deliver you up? Now, I know the answer with many is no. You said, why? Because we're too much believing that any day we're going to be gone and raptured up. We don't look to this verse here. We don't look to be involved in it in any type of way. In any of us that's believing that we'll be gone at any minute is not looking to this verse 9 to have any interaction with it. Now, as I told you many times before, I wish that was true. I wish that we would be caught up before the great tribulation. I wish we would be caught up before any of the great persecution would come. But it's not going to be so, people, because God is not a respecter of persons. And he is not going to let the true faithful of the early church be delivered up and killed, be delivered up to be afflicted, to be hated of all nations in their day and time for his name's sake, and we be exempt. There's no way that's happening. Because if you're telling me that's happening, then you're telling me we serve a biased God. And the blood of those that were shed from the early church will be able to cry out to God and say, God, why did we have to be delivered up and afflicted? Why was it that we had to be killed? Why was it that we were hated of all nations for your name's sake? But yet still, this latter-day church didn't have to go through this, and you're going to snatch them up in the air before they see any great persecution that comes. Why is that so? They're not going to be able to say that. You know why? Because God is not going to be biased like that, people. Listen, he said, then shall they deliver you up. He's talking to the believers. Amen. The Bible said his disciples came. Disciples meaning what? Followers. Are you not a disciple of Christ? Are you saved? You say yes. Well, that means you are a disciple. So he's talking to you too. He ain't just talking about some people. Well, he's just talking to the Jews. Listen, the word of God carries a twofold meaning, a literal and a figurative or spiritual meaning. Okay? Hallelujah. He's talking to his disciples, those that are born again in Christ Jesus. And he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now, some of you hearing this saying, oh, no. Now, I didn't get on this bandwagon. I heard God was a preserver and a keeper and keep you out of trouble and protect you. Well, he do. But guess what? You got to go trial. Got to be made. There has to be a trying of the product, which is you. You got to prove it. Listen. People want to just ride on their words. Oh, I love the Lord and I'm faithful to the Lord. But they don't want to show action. Guess what? In the midst of the trial, you going to have to show action. And see, that's one of the things that gets many people. They don't want to show action. They just want to do lip service. Yes, I love the Lord and I do anything for the Lord. But when the opportunity come up, you shy away. Now, for me to come before you right now and tell you I'm totally ready for the day, I'd be lying to you. I say to the Lord, Lord, keep working on me. Sometimes there have been times where I've got a bill in the mail and I'm almost about to fall. You understand what I'm saying? But the question goes to you, the listener, too. Are you ready for the then? Some of you right now is comfortable and just pleasing everybody. Oh, amen. Let's be cut, dry, and straight with this. Okay? When it comes to standing for Christ, you either keep your mouth closed or you shrivel up or you join in with the people. But you're not willing. And plus, especially when it's just you against maybe 5, 10, or 15 people who wants to commit to sin, and you're the only one that know that that's wrong, then you look at yourself, I'm the only one, and you won't say nothing. My God. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. See, that's what's going on with the church world today. Okay? I want to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Good evening. How are we today? Can you hear me?
That's so. Yeah, I hear you good. God bless.
Oh, God bless you, brother. I wanted to reach out as I was listening to the broadcast. It's funny that you are bringing more or shedding more light on something that was kind of controversial. On the broadcast on Monday night, we were talking about the mass shootings recently, and I had one brother who thought that God so quote unquote allowed the mass shootings, and then I had the other brother who had a difference of opinion who said that God didn't allow anything. He couldn't have intervened in the matter. And you're pointing out the scripture in Matthew 24, as it talks about the tribulation period and how people think that we're going to be raptured out. Some people think that we're living in the beginning of that tribulation period now, and we're starting to endure things and see tragedies and people are trying to say that, well, they're blaming God, versus blaming the sin, and this is why things are happening. So I was hoping that maybe if you can clarify that a little bit more, and that we are going to go through things like this, and in fact, things are going to get much worse, and because God will not go against his word, he cannot intervene in situations like what was recently happened.
Well, you know, in the light of that, what people don't understand is that the Lord, there's some things God speaks that will happen, especially based on the sin of man that opened up a door for curses, where he will allow and let, because of man's sin, the judgments. And he had warned America, I can't even put a time date on it. And through many of his true prophets and servants, children of God, about the sins of America, and now the spirit of murder has gone out. The spirit of hatred has gone forward. And God let us know that these things would happen, many of it based on, you know, America's stance in the turning away from God. I think the question is not so much have God turned the back on us, but have we turned our back on God, which that is true. That has happened with America. America has turned her back on God. She has depended upon her own strength to defend herself, and God is letting her see that not happening. If you ever notice about the mass shootings, brother, whenever you hear these mass shootings come up lately, notice one of the most common things they talk about, gun control. Oh, we got to pass stronger laws, gun control. Now, don't get me wrong. Some laws need to be passed, you know, you just don't let anybody have a gun. But however, this is where you mess up at. When you depend more on your strength in the, quote, guns, than the protection of God, that's where you have a problem. They want to attribute every mass shooting to mental illness. All of it is not mental illness, okay? Mm-hmm. Many of these people that's getting these guns, brother, they ain't had a history of mental problems. I mean, they even said it on the news today when they was talking about it. Everyone that was getting, like the guys that got the gun, they said, well, they got it legally. And you listened to the report two or three days ago when they asked the officer in Texas about, well, what can we do with things like this? The officer said, and this will come out of his mouth, well, that's where you have to look at to the psychologist. See, everything, no one's talking about the spiritual aspect. No one's talking about the sin. No one's talking about that there are demons out there. No one's talking about how America has opened up through her sin the judgments to come. Okay? And that's what we're seeing. We're not, so here's the thing. We're not seeing judgments just in the storm. See, people don't even want to talk about that. We're seeing judgment in the storms. We're seeing it in famines. We're seeing it in more than one area, which God had pointed out in his word that will happen. And God knows the things to allow and permit to humble a nation. Hallelujah. And therefore, my take on this, now, here's the other thing of the issue, like what I'm speaking on tonight. He let you know that there are some things you're going to go through as part of the trial and tribulation process. Okay? But he said here, then shall they deliver you up. He's talking to believers. See, so, you know, some believers who said we're going to be raptured up any day say, oh, no, he's talking to the Jews here. Well, the Bible's told me that his disciples came to him privately. Now, we must understand that many of the words in the scripture carries a twofold meaning. It carries not only a literal meaning, but a figurative or a spiritual meaning. So if you are born again, you are a disciple of who? Jesus Christ. So he wasn't just talking to his disciples there literally who were of the Jews, but he's talking to all who are his disciples in Christ Jesus. And so he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. He didn't say they're going to deliver you up to like you or to wonder what's your agenda or how do you do such outstanding work. None of that. You're going to be delivered up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Say what? Wait a minute. Brother, this is where you get some of them say, hey, I didn't sign up for this. I said, Jesus the Lord, because they say he's the protector and he's the provider and he won't never let nothing happen to you. But here's where they miss. The Bible tells you that God is no respecter of persons. Listen, in their day and time, the early church was delivered up, afflicted, and killed. In their day and time, the early church were hated of all nations for Jesus' name's sake. In the time of the early church, there were many that was offended, betraying one another and hating one another. Do you think the true and living God, who is not biased, going to let the early church in their day and time see this thing and we don't go through it? Not happening. Not happening. Hallelujah. It ain't happening. I'm sorry. We don't serve a biased God. We don't serve a respecter of persons. Okay? He said, then shall many be offended and shall betray. See, this is what you're going to see. See, some people, see, right now, what are you seeing? Well, let's be straight and honest. What are you seeing in the churches? Confusion, argument, contentions, betraying one another. Oh, yeah, in the church. And what you hear to some of the people? I ain't going to church no more. I ain't go. And now, not only do they not go to church service, brother, they quit praying, they quit studying, they quit having any communication with God. So here's the question I have with that. When man is doing that to one another, why are you trying to punish God? That's what I want to know. I mean, God didn't tell them to betray one another. God didn't tell them to hate one another. In fact, God preached the message of love. Okay, so what they're doing is of the devil and in their sin nature. So why is it that when you see Deacon Jones or Pastor Joe, who's running around with every woman in town, you get so mad and upset that you just cut off all communication from God because of what he's done? Huh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, hey, glory, hallelujah. That's just the Holy Ghost. He said, and this shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You're going to see this among who? The church people. How are you going to see it at? The church folk. And if you ain't got enough Jesus in you for yourself personally, this is why I keep stressing to people about spending time personally with God. Because when it get down to the get down, and as you say, brother, at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, you're going to have to know Jesus for yourself when everybody in your household turn their back on you. when everybody in their house, even when the loved ones close to you set a trap for you and betray you, you're going to have to know Jesus is Lord for yourself. Because some people are going to fall, brother, because of that. Some people are going to fall. They're going to say, oh, wait a minute. We was good friends. He sold me out. Just low down. I don't care. And I don't care about nobody. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't talked to many people like that. You talk to them about the Lord, they cut you off. Oh, boy, he done by God. Why you want to hear nothing about God? Because my close friend Joe, we grew up together, and Joe betrayed me. He fooled around my wife. He fooled around. But okay, we understand that you hurt. Don't get me wrong. People, we get it. But my question is, why you blaming God? why you blaming? Why is the first person really you're blaming besides Joe is God? What did God? So you mean God told Joseph, Joe, okay, tell you what. You see a wife fool with him. Did God tell David to fool with that man's wife? No, he didn't tell him that. He didn't tell David to do no stuff like that. But see, people get upset and they get mad at God. So he said, then. The word then is used two times in verse 9 and 10. Then is a word of order. That's why he said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then. We're coming up on the den in this time right now. We're seeing the wars, the rumors of war. That's happening. Kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, that's happening. We're seeing famines. We're seeing earthquakes in diverse places, not just in usual places. That's what we must understand. It's earthquakes in diverse places. It's in places not usual. Whenever you hear a tremble in Rockford, Illinois, that's unusual. Whenever you start hearing a tremble down here in Mississippi, not once, but twice in two different years, that's unusual. That's what he's trying to show you right there. When you say earthquake in California, you go, oh, yeah, we know that. California is associated, with earthquakes. When somebody tell you there's an earthquake in California, you be like, well, I hate to hear that, but I'm not surprised. They tell you said tornadoes in Florida, you say, I hate to hear that, but I'm not surprised. But like I said, when you get a report and they say, hey, man, we got a tremble here in Mississippi. Say, what Mississippi you talking about? Here in America. You had to be mistaken. I think what it was, somebody was doing some work on your house, jacking, and then they shook your house. No, I ain't shake my house by no jacking. I know when I looked outside and looked, it wasn't nobody around, but I did see the ground move. So, yeah, it was a tremble. He said, then should they deliver you up? I encourage anyone that's a believer, get that book, Christian Martyrs of the World. Get the book and read it. It's a thick book. I ain't going to tell you no story. It's a thick book, but it's worth it. Get that book and read it. If you want an inkling of what the early church went through, read that book. Read that book. And when you get finished reading it, ask yourself the question, well, how is it that they went through that and we just going to get a scapegoat? How we do that? Okay. If you had two kids, and you let one of them go through some atrocity like that, what you think they're going to say when you let the other one just say, okay, he ain't got to face it. We just going to put him in paradise. What you think the other kid going to say? Well, wait a minute, Daddy. I don't understand this. I got beat for you and kicked and slammed and punched and drugged on the ground. And here he is, Timmy over here. And you said, Timmy ain't got to go through none of that. He gets to the paradise house. Well, why is that? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? He said, then shall they deliver you up. The word of the Lord said in the 21st message, he said, remember. Remember means be careful not to forget. That means he didn't told you before. When God said remember, that means he didn't told you something before. Don't forget it now. He said, remember, the Lord wants a tried people. Woo. Did you hear that? Did everybody in broadcast land hear that? The Lord wants a tried people. He said, therefore, your path is, not might be, is hard at times. At times. But the Lord will help you and direct you as your faith will be. Hallelujah. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God
Amen.
For the power of the Holy Ghost, brother. This is what we see in the day. Some believers don't want to, they don't want to talk about verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. They don't want to talk about that. Why? Because we're too busy trying to ask. And I love Kirk Franklin, but Kirk Franklin was wrong on this. We're too busy trying to come down to be like to man. Be like, I got to come down and be as he is so I can reach him. So if he's a whoremonger, you're going to be a whoremonger so you can reach him for Jesus, huh? If he's a thief, you going to come down and try to be a thief to reach him for Jesus? We got to understand that was a boundary. Jesus, the number one Jesus said, whatever you do to try to reach him, it got to involve Jesus. You said, why you say that? Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. That's what he said, ain't it? And that is what he said in the word, right? If he be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto me.
That's what he said.
If you're going to come down to appeal to men, it got to be within the boundaries that Christ is there. You understand what I'm saying? It can't be in some sinful, out-of-the-way, fleshly stuff, and you talking about, well, this is Jesus. Uh-uh. It got to be where Jesus can draw them. You understand what I'm saying? It can't be just you making up, oh, I'm going to go out there. I know they like twerking. I'm going to go out there when we have the service, and I'm just going to break out with the twerk, because that's going to get them, and that's going to get them to come to Jesus. Well, I don't know what Jesus you talking about. I don't know what Jesus you talking about. Because getting up there and doing that kind of stuff, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the question is, brother, of the broadcast tonight is, are you ready for the den? Are you ready for the den? Now, as I said before, I told him earlier on this broadcast, if I sit here and tell you that I'm all together there, I would be lying to you. I ain't going to lie to you like that. Because I've seen times, like I said, I done got a bill of sweat break out on me. Or my knees and got weak. No. So that tell me I still need some more work, brother. That would that tell me I still need some more work. You understand what I'm saying? And see, when you think you're there, that's when you need some more work. When you think you're there. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some who is strong in the Lord, okay? But for what we about to see, and see, brother, like these mass shootings and things we see, we ain't seen it all yet. I know people say, oh, you just trying to be a doomsday preacher. No, I'm not. I'm just being straight up and honest with you. We ain't seen it all yet. We haven't seen it all. My God, the main Antichrist ain't risen and took his place yet. We seeing all this stuff, and he ain't even took his place yet. Just imagine when he take his place. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm going to let you speak in on that too, brother. Come on.
You know, brother, it's such a blessing, you know, that we have this broadcast to be able to preach the gospel and to warn the people. And all the time, the message is not going to be a shout, glory, hallelujah message. And sometimes, you know, if we're preaching the true unadulterated word of God, it's going to sting a little bit. You know, sometimes it's going to make some incisions and it's going to cut. Like it says, separating both soul and spirit like marrow from the bone, you know, in God's word. You know, if you separate marrow from, if you ever had that procedure done where they take bone marrow from you, you know that it's a painful procedure because you're separating something from that causes life, but also that could cause you death. You understand? So in that way, we have to be prepared to sometimes, for lack of a better term, take our licks on the chin, because it's making us, it's reproving us, it's molding us. And we can't say, oh, they just on there talking all this doomsday stuff. Well, it's happening right before your eyes. And this is why I called in, because as like on the last broadcast, I was saying that God is not a respected person. And so you're saying the same thing tonight, which is bearing witness to what we were talking about the other night. You weren't even on the broadcast the other night. And you're saying the same exact thing. God is not a respected person. And if you go back and you look in the Word and see how he dealt with his people, he's dealt with everybody this with the same measure of culpability or responsibility, your responsibility to what he has told you and given you to do. And when you haven't done it, he showed you what the outcome could be. And here in Matthew, he's telling you the same thing. Listen, this is what's going to happen. And they're going to do this. But be prepared now. I'm warning you that this is going to happen. You know, I was reading, I'll say this, I was reading in a book that a lot of times we leave the Old Testament alone. We just read in the New Testament. We want to read all the good parts in the New Testament. But last night, God had me going through Lamentations. Now, I can't even tell you a time that I read Lamentations at all, okay? And I started listening to how the prophet Jeremiah is talking about how God has dealt with his people because of their disobedience and what has happened to Jerusalem. And it is, I never knew that book was so graphic, how he talks about how God allowed the people of Israel, their enemies, to trod on them and to take their virgins and their young men and make them slaves, and all because, you know, they were disobedient and they didn't listen. Well, that same thing is happening now, and we're blaming God, but God said, listen, I warned you. And as a matter of fact, you have plenty of examples of what not to do in this word. So how can you turn back to me then and say, hey, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Well, as I said, our sin and disobedience is bringing this on, that's something that needs to be really pointed out.
Well, you know, brother, it's interesting that you said that too, because when people look in the book of Judges, the 10th chapter, the Bible said God sold the children of Israel into the hand of their enemies. Why did he do that? Because for the simple fact is they went to serve another god. In fact, the enemies that he sold them to the hands of, they were one of the people who God, they were they was worshiping, the Philistines. I'm going to click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Go ahead.
And so, in the 10th chapter of the book of Judges, the Bible tells you God sold them into the hands of their enemies. And then when they cried out to the Lord, what did God say? Let your God save you. Ooh, did I say that? No, the word of God said that. God said, let your God save you. And then he told us that, God gave him a little history. I delivered you. You didn't went back and serve other God. He said, let your God save you. But I got to give Israel this credit. They knew not to just go away. They didn't go away. Guess what they did? They went and tore them altars down. I tell you that. They tore them altars down until God had mercy on them. Okay, but God told them straight out. Some people that, well, God wouldn't do it. God, oh, listen. God is long-suffering. That's what the Bible said. People get long-suffering confused with forever suffering. Long-suffering and forever suffering is two different words, okay? Let us get that clear. When he said he long-suffering, that don't mean forever suffering, okay? Some people say God is forever suffering. But God told him, he said, let your God save you. So here, we look at here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and the question is, are you ready for the den? He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. God said these things, not only is going to involve you, it's going to involve you what you're going to see. Some people, like I said, brother, they just quit coming to service because they argue too much. And they quit coming to service, but guess what they do worse than that? They just quit spending time with God. And when you do ask them, what happened? Well, and they got to give you the history. Well, they were arguing every day in the church, and I got tired of arguing. Okay, I understand you got tired of arguing. I understand it. Don't nobody like to argue. I understand it. But what did that have to do with you and your relationship with Jesus? I mean, what did that have to do with you and Jesus that now you just stop praying, stop studying, you don't have no communication with God? And so what did that have to do with you and Jesus? What I see, nothing. Listen, it ain't no big type of secret. Here in the Church of Christ Elijah Method, we done had umpteen splits, okay? But this is what I have to say. I thank God for revealing to me by his spirit that this work is true. You understand what I'm saying? See, I you know, even though you had all these disagreements, these splits and all that, I was not going to let nothing turn me away from this work. I don't care if I were by myself. I know in my spirit. I know
in my
spirit this work is true. I don't know because I heard Brother Clark say it or anybody else said it. I know in my spirit that this work is true.
Yeah.
And see, some people haven't got a real testimony. They haven't got that real testimony. They talk about it. Oh, well, I believe an angel's coming. That's talk. But having a real testimony, they haven't got it. And that's why when the first thing come up in the church, boom, they gone. You look up, where they gone? Then you see them on the street. They might wave at you for a couple months, and then after a couple months, they're going to pass by, they ain't waving no more because they don't want you to see them and thinking that you're going to pull them over and ask them when they come in the service. Okay? So some people hadn't got a real testimony. And here's the question. Are you ready for the den? Have you got a real testimony that when Jesus said, then should they deliver you up, that he's talking to the believers? He ain't talking to the sinners. He ain't talking to just the Jews. You got something like, oh, well, you know, you're going to be raptured up, and he was talking to the Jews. The Bible tell me his disciples talk to him privately. And you are born again believer. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means he was talking to you too. And he said, then should they deliver you up to be afflicted? Not to rub you on your back, not to tell you how great you are or how dynamic or how outstanding you are, but you're going to be delivered up to be afflicted and shall kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that this is the doomsday message we got. Well, if you want to call it doomsday, call it doomsday. Go ahead and call it doomsday. Call it whatever you want to call it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just call it whatever you want to call it. But it's the word of the Lord. It's not the word of Brother Nader, Brother Lee, or Brother Manny. It's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord said, okay? You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at God, okay?
Yeah.
But God is the one that said it. Jesus, written in red, not written in black, written in red, that he said, you're going to be hated. The church right now trying to be liked of all nations. Not, ain't no hater. She's trying to be liked.
Black.
That's why she getting naked like other nations. That's why she's making these songs with all these blues and hip-hop like other nations. That's why she's doing this stuff, because she want to be loved of all nations. She don't want to be hated of all nations, but Jesus said she want to be loved. And guess what the other thing she's doing? Now she's keeping her mouth closed by mentioning Jesus. She's doing just like the Masons do when they keep the name of Jesus out, even in their prayer and in reading of the word of God. Now she done turned to the same thing, and now she went, oh, we better not say Jesus because we might offend somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I love you anyhow. You'll be offended. Because I'm going to call on Jesus. Because you know what? When I was sick, he's the one that healed me. None of these other nations healed me. No one brought me out of migraine headaches like him. No one brought me out of high blood pressure like him. No one did it. Okay? So these other nations didn't bring me out. So I'm going to call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to use his name. Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So can I get a Baptist amen and a Pentecostal hallelujah? Because we got to have
a amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm offended. I'm offended.
All right, brother. Well, amen. Glory to God. That's why we gave
I'm
the Baptist
offended.
Amen and the Pentecostal hallelujah, so you won't be offended. Hallelujah.
Oh,
when that praise get on you, you won't be offended no more. You'll be hallelujah, hollering bigger than us. Hallelujah. They're going to be people, brothers, they're going to be hollering, hallelujah, bigger than us. They're going to kick the door down trying to get into service. And they're going to ask you, what took you so long? What took you so long? Why are you late? Hallelujah. We've been waiting on you for 20 minutes.
Put you out of the synagogue. Put you out of the synagogue.
Hallelujah. You know what? We got to be willing. We got to be willing, people. That's why the question is, are you ready for the den? We got to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
What in your life is greater than Jesus? I ask anybody that. What in your life is greater than Jesus? Okay?
Me.
Some of you would say nothing. Well, this is what I say. Look at what you're giving your time to more than him. That's all I got to say. You know, amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say a lot of times on broadcast, we got to spend more time with Jesus. We worry about our careers. We worry about how much money we can make, how popular we can be. We don't spend no time with Jesus, or we have a crisis. Whenever a crisis come up, Mm-hmm. Man, we would hit that couch so hard, or that bed so hard, we would knock the wheels from down that bed, getting down there. But as soon as God give an answer, we jump up so fast, man, we jump up before we even can think. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And we go on by business, and now we just start the whole day over again without Jesus. Amen. But the Lord is showing America. The Lord is showing the church. The church have had her chest stuck out as well as America. And she said, I trust in my work, and I trust in my own strength. And God said, I'm going to let you see that they ain't going to save you. Listen.
These mass shootings.
Not only this mass shooting has shook the nation, but it has opened up a door for the spirit of fear. If you look on the news today, up in New York, people started running. Why was they running? In fear. For what? A truck was backfiring, and they thought it was a truck, and they took off to running. My God, you had close to a mall or something today that they was talking about because a sign fell down on the ground, people. The people got scared, thought it was shot, and took off to running. They hollering all on the TV.
Wow.
Listen. The spirit of fear has gripped the nation ever since, especially 2001, when there was an attack on the towers. The spirit of fear has gripped the nation. They left a bag in the middle of the airport, and people were scared to even go touch it because it might be a bomb.
Yeah,
since we gonna open our eyes to see this, and we are letting the enemy even come at us with things. Now the spirit of fear has gripped us. And any kind of, quote, bad news we hear, we get scared real quick. We're scared in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
We're so scared we won't even do what God told us anymore. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When the government say, I'm going to take your money, church, I'm going to take your tax exempt because you won't marry same-sex couples, we got scared. Mm-hmm. We got scared. When the Supreme Court said it's okay to get married same-sex couples, we got scared. Now we get interviewed on TV, and we don't even know how to talk anymore. When they interview us about what you think, we up there fumbling at the mouth and act like we can't even find our words. Hallelujah. It has gotten to the point that even sinners is able to come through and infiltrate the church and say, hey, I just want to do a gospel song. I don't want to get saved now, but I want to do a gospel song because I want to do something inspirational. Because we're going to leave out Jesus. We're going to leave Jesus out of the word Christmas because we're going to put a big X there and say Xmas. Merry Xmas. We're going to leave Christ out. We're going to leave the word gospel out now. We're going to say inspiration. We just want to make an inspiration song. We're going to leave the word gospel out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be more caring about people's feelings being hurt, worshiping their own God, than we are giving them the gospel. That's how we have gotten today, people. Are you ready for the deal? He said, then should they deliver you up and be afflicted? Why is they delivering you up? Because you are preaching the gospel. That's why. That's why. They're not delivering you up because of your color or your gender. They're delivering you up because you're preaching the gospel.
Wow. The gospel. The real gospel.
The church back in the days called themselves the Holy Office. And those that strongly believe in Christ was killed for the faith in Jesus Christ. Because why? They wouldn't deny the true and living God. They would
deny. Mm-hmm.
They were burned at the stake alive. They got the fire from the people's house in the village and let the people watch you be tied and burned alive. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But they failed to understand the power of the living God. Because some people got saved from seeing those people burned up at the stake than they was for speaking to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you don't know how, if you just let God use you, you don't know how God would draw people unto him through you.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to go through.
Yeah.
Got to be willing to go through. Now I'm going to let y'all two brothers come in on that, Brother Manning and Brother Lee.
Well, I'm going to be very brief. But I was sitting here, and as you were talking about how God is coming back for a certain type of people, a certain type of church. I liken it until, if you ever played a sport and you went for tryouts, you know, when you show up to the first day of tryouts, there are so many people trying out for this one team, you know, And as the days go on and the competition gets more intense and the drills get more difficult, you start to see people drop off a little bit at a time. You know, once there was 50 people, then you look and you see there was 30 people. And then day three, you're looking, there's 25 people. And day four, there's 18 people. And then before you know it, the coach don't even have to make the decision on who's going to be on the team. Most people have already quit or disqualified themselves. And I feel like that's what's happening now with the so-called Christian in the Western world, that there are a lot of people who, like as you said earlier, they're saying with their lips that they want to run the race and that they, you know, they love God and they want to do the work of the Lord. But at the same time, they're starting to eliminate themselves from being in the running. And I just thought that was an analogy that we could really use to say that, you know, people are saying with their mouths one thing, but their actions are saying something different. And so, as you said, people don't want to be offered up. You know, people don't want to go through this tribulation. I don't want to be persecuted. That's not fun. That's not the fun Christian experience that I see on TV, people shouting at these mega churches and sitting up front in the pews with the big hats. I don't want to be persecuted. Who wants that Christianity? I want the Christianity where I can have fun and still go out, you know, with my friends and maybe have a drink or go to the boat and do a little gambling, but still make it to church on Sunday. So what you're saying is absolutely on point, brother. You 100% correct.
Amen, brother. We really appreciate your analysis on that, brother. And that's a good analogy too. And I agree with you on that, because that's definitely how we can see that through the analogy that you gave. Brother Lee?
Oh, I'm just guggling in and letting y'all guggle out. that was quite to the point. The analogies was great. What I learned in my trip abroad to Africa and a few other places, the people who know somewhat what suffering is, just to live from day to day, mm-hmm. when they become a true covenant believer, they begin to understand somewhat to suffer for the pearl of great price. When they find the amplified version of what life is, when they make the decision and find that Christ is their life and become their life, they really don't have the problem with suffering for him and suffering for the gospel as we do have in the Western world. The Western world is geared to running around suffering for his name's sake or for his word's sake. And so we find America in a most pitiful position in many cases representing the Christ in the kingdom, because they are not set to suffer for their faith, nor suffer for his name or his word's sake. And they're not going. And the gospel that preaches that or teaches that, there's a suffering that you must do. As Apostle Paul said, I suffer more than all for the gospel's sake. That is not in their vernacular nor in their minds. So when it comes to them, they're quickly bold and they give up. They're tired and they run out of steam, because they have not girded themselves for war or for suffering being offered up, like you said. And when I went to Africa, that's why I have great respect and high regard for the dedication of the Christians in the Middle East and Far East. They paid the ultimate price and even laid down their life and go to mm-hmm. prison with joy. Have you ever seen anybody have joy in a prison and joy going to the chopping block or being beaten for his name's sake? If the average Christian, I'm not all of them, but the average person that calls himself a Christian in America, if you just put them to the slightest test, most of them will bowl over. That's sad to say. sad to say. So we need to understand the suffering of Christ when he says, you will have to suffer for my name's sake and my word's sake and be hated. We're too busy trying to be liked and popular. Amen. And we think that popularity is what Jesus wants us to have. So we are not ready to suffer because we have been in America has been geared to something else, been preached and taught something else. And that means that we're not crucified with Christ. And our life and that we live, we want it to be ordered by our own way. So when the suffering comes from, that's why you see people, they are afraid or they are even ashamed to exalt the righteous cause of Christ. It's going to get so terrible on the radio and the TV that they criticize you now, but they're going to do more than what criticize. They can condemning you now, but they're going to do more. They'll be getting ready to do more of that to you. You people like Nate up here crying out. They're gonna sympathize you, criticize you, and cut you off and slap you. See, you haven't been beaten and slapped for the name of Jesus. Right. The average person have known what it means to be beaten, slapped, and not only rejected, totally rejected by your family, loved ones, and everybody for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're too busy trying to get along. But you're going to find out ourselves in a very dangerous position where we're going to be tested to the uttermost. Hallelujah. I'd say we're getting ready in America, but they're putting the screws on it. They already got laws passed. I know a lot of people don't know what they've already got passed. And after a while, Brother Nate just got to make some statement. Oh, bro, you should have to get slapped, beat, and cut off and called to court. Okay. Now just watch that this is going to happen sooner than you think. So you better get your slap clothes on, amen. Yeah. Because you begin to go know what means be hated for the gospel's sake.
Okay. You're right about that, brother. We, you know, and you know, we thank God for the word. We thank God, and like I said, I want to say as I get ready to close the broadcast, I thank God for His Spirit.
Yeah.
Because without His Spirit, we wouldn't make it. And you know what? I thank God for a chance to get ready. You know, people don't understand that you're squandering your chance. When we waste time like we do, we squander our chance. Okay, we're given a chance to get ready. We've gotten this warning. This warning didn't just come about from the Lord. This warning been going on for years, and we have been given a chance to get prepared, and we need to take advantage of this opportunity now. So as I get ready to close, I want you to think on this question. Are you ready for the den? Are you ready for the den? You know, and to me, if you say you are, then that's when you need more work. I'm just going to tell you right now. That's when you need more work. Because when you think you're ready, you come to find out you ain't ready like you think. And like I tell anybody, for me to come up here and say, I'm all there, I'd be lying to you. I'm telling you right now, God is still doing work on me. And I said, Lord, continue to work on me because any two time I get a bill and I start sweating or my knees get weak, that tell me I need some more work done. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So praise God. I thank God for this broadcast. I thank God for all of you that have been listening to this broadcast. And Brother Manny, I want to ask you if you would offer us a closing prayer.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Yes,
we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for another opportunity to come on this broadcast and to preach the gospel and to share with the people what you have put in our hearts to share. This content that we are covering, Lord, we know that it's reaching someone, whether it's as far as Norway or as close as Mississippi or Chicago. Lord, we just ask that these words go into every home of the listener, touch every person, touch their minds, their hearts, that if they are not preparing themselves, as the brother talked about earlier, that we all start to prepare ourselves for what is to come so that we may be able to stand when we encounter, as the brother said, the then. And we thank you, Lord.
We praise you, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Protect every person in their home. Protect every listener, their family members, and their friends, their loved ones, as they go out into the street, Lord. For we know we live in the evil times. These are the end times, Lord, as you tell us to prepare. And so, Father, we ask that you be with us, even as we carry your word on, that you protect us and keep us safe, all of us, covered in the blood. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Until next time we meet again, amen.
Amen. And amen. Put on your warring clothes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now,
thank you, Jesus.
We thank God for this broadcast, and don't forget tomorrow night, the Lord say the same. Or look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock. I will continue from the third message in the word of the Lord. Amen. So once again, brothers,
amen.
I appreciate y'all coming on, Brother Lee,
appreciate
Brother Manny.
You, brother.
Thank God for you coming on and sharing in the giving of this message. Thank God for all the listeners. We love you all. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless
amen.
You, brothers.
God bless.
God bless. Love you, brother.